In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? Just 12 years old, and already he is a boy on a mission. Indeed, Jesus' entire life was a life about his Father's business. He had no time to stop and smell the roses. He had no time to pursue hobbies in order to pass the time. From the time of his circumcision on the eighth day until the time he hung on the cross for you and for me, Jesus only considered his Father's business. As the Gospel of John tells us, he came to do his Father's will and nothing else would get in his way. And his Father's will was the salvation of the world. That's why St. Mary's scolding remark to her son is so harsh to our sensitive ears. Why would you have treated us so? Mary's words accuse Jesus of sin, of being self-centered and thoughtless. And for this reason, she receives a rebuking question from him. Why did you seek me? That is to say, it was not Jesus who was negligent, but they. I am sure that our Lord as a child was all too easy to neglect. Being perfect and sinless, he would have been completely selfless, always mindful of his duty, doing what he was told the first time he was asked. Unlike every other person in the world, he knew his duty as a child, and he fulfilled it. His was a life of service, not only to mankind in general, but to his parents in particular. He was the perfect son, and so they simply expected him to be in the train of pilgrims on the way back to Nazareth. When he wasn't, they panicked. And then, when they found him, his mother, full of guilt and emotionally exhausted, lashes out at him. She attempts to inflict him with some of her pain and suffering. Son, why have you treated us so poorly? That is to say, don't you love your mother? Indeed, he does love his mother. And that is why he stayed put in the temple where he was left. And it is why he was conducting his Father's business in the temple. You see, Jesus wasn't only satisfied with being inflicted with some of Mary's pain and suffering. He wanted the pain and the suffering of the sin born in her and that which she had committed since. He wanted all of it. He wanted to take her guilt and sin away. He wanted to suffer and to die for her. And he wanted to continue to serve her. And what of you? Have you taken Jesus for granted? Has his presence in the temple of your own body been neglected and ignored so that you might selfishly go about your sins? This is the temptation of faithful Christians, even Christians who go to church every Sunday. The temptation to go on committing the same sin without giving any thought to it, as though Christ did not exist or that he did not die for you. Or to be so bold as to blame God for your inclinations of lust and pride, greed, jealousy, and anger, claiming you can't help it because God just made you this way. We're taking God's grace for granted as you indulge your sinful flesh, saying, I'll sin now and then repent later, or God will just forgive me anyway. Repent. God knows what is in your heart and your mind. He knows your secrets. You have been caught. Your sin is your fault, not his. His ways are not your ways, and his thoughts are not your thoughts. Remember, Jesus is the God of Abraham. He sent his son in judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, burning it to the ground because they refused to repent. He turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt because she yearned for the sinful life when she looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah. He slew 23,000 Israelites because of their sexual immorality. Do not tempt him. Just because you have an intimate relationship with him doesn't mean he is your buddy. Repent. All of your sins are serious, and you can't hide them from our Lord. So repent, but do not despair. These things were written in the Law and the Prophets for our warning and our salvation, the foretelling of the Father's business. The light pierced the darkness in the courts of the temple. For the teachers of the law, all who hear Jesus, find their hearts burning. His Father's business is being conducted in his Father's house. The greatest proof that this is the Messiah is not simply his miracles, but his word and his teaching. He does not sin. He does not lie. He speaks the truth. He opens up the law and the prophets. He has perfect insight into the written will of God. He doesn't teach like the Pharisees or the Sadducees and those today who bend his teaching to their itching ears. Through him comes grace and truth. The Lord is in his temple, for his body is the new temple. It was torn down in a brutal human rage upon the cross, but it was built again in divine love on Easter morning. The temple itself was sacrificed once for all, once for you. And it was the temple, rebuilt by the power of the Holy Spirit when Christ was raised in glory through the Father. It will no longer be limited by time or space. His time of his humiliation is ended. He is exalted. His Father's business is completed. Your sins are forgiven, and you are free. For the Lord has made his dwelling among us. The Word is made flesh. And that Word, this Jesus, is put into you by way of your ears and by way of your mouth. You are now the temple. How is it that God's Spirit is put into you? By his word that is preached in your ears today, and by his very body and blood given and shed for you to eat and to drink here at Holy Communion. For the bread we break is the communion of his holy body, and the cup we bless in this communion is the cup of his holy blood. The price of your redemption has been paid. This is the Father's business, the purpose of the temple, then and now, to rescue mankind, to make for himself a people who were once not his people, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Rejoice, dear saints of the living God. You are not alone. You are no longer stuck in the rut of your sin. You are not left alone in your suffering. You are not grieving alone for relationships or loved ones lost. The light shines in the darkness. Come out of the shadows. Leave behind your murky excuses and hopeless attempts at self-justification. Abandon your self-made and self-sought righteousness. Come drink from the waters of life, that Christ may become in you an everlasting spring of peace, rest, forgiveness, and love. For he is your life and your light. And in him, the Father's business has been completed for you, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.